Welcome everybody to the iPhone Users Group for March 25th, 2026. It's March 25th. It's kind of a special day. It was the day that I married my late husband, and so I want to remember him. You know, he was a great guy, and but I'm with a great guy. I'm even with a greater guy this time. So anyway, having said that, Dennis, you have a demonstration for us. I would love to see it.
Well, it's not going to be very long. Just a little bit here. Give me 1 second. I'll lock my mic down.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. And no, Spence, I was done. I had said my piece.
Well, I put in the version 2.6.4 this morning. Actually woke up and didn't know it was there. Little interesting tidbit, though. I and Parker were the only ones that I know of that got 2.6.3.1A. Even my wife with the same phone didn't get A. So anyways, what I wanted to demonstrate was...
Channel. Tech channel 11 closed.
Sorry about that. Let me turn that off. Let me see if I can do that. Okay. What I wanted to demonstrate was some of the new feature. There's an intelligent playlist maker in the new iPhone Music app. Okay, and so what I thought was interesting, because I tried it and I thought it was okay, but I thought I'd demonstrate it to you guys, because everything in the music app looks the same as it normally does. And unless there's, you know, questions about it, I'm not a big music app person, but I've only used it about 3 or 4 months, but I just love it. So here we go. I'm sitting on my home screen and
music.
Okay. I'm at my music and I think my volume's a little quieter than my
messages. Music.
There we go. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and click music here.
Music library.
And I'm going to go to the library.
Tab bar, home, tab, one of new, tab, radio, tab, selected.
And
library,
it is already
tab,
selected, but I'm a double clicker, so.
Selected, library, tab,
okay.
4 or 5.
Now, that's the only thing that I've been able to see for so far that is new. I haven't had a chance to go through all the whole thing up and down, because like I said, I just got it this morning. But they have this intelligent playlist, and what's interesting is where the section where you normally see
playlists, artists, albums, button, songs, button, made for you, button.
Okay, you see all the list of your options. Above that now we have, I'll go back up.
Songs, albums, artists, playlists, my account, more, button, new playlist, button.
New playlist, and this is where you put your, you get this thing to make this playlist up for you, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and click that.
Close, button. Sheet grabber, half screen, button.
And this is interesting. I asked my wife about this first part. It actually says sheet grabber. And I cannot figure out what it was. I had my wife look at the screen. She doesn't know what it is. So maybe somebody else knows what it is. But this is the first time I've seen it. I have no idea what it is. When I click it, it just expands. Now, this next section looks like a standard playlist when you open it up. As I slide down the page.
Close, button, more, button, playlist title, text field.
And you can ignore that here because the application actually puts in the name of the type of playlist when it creates it, all right? So if I slide down more.
Add songs, button. Start with an idea. Use the prompts or add songs and a title. What do you want to hear? Search field. Dictate button.
And of course, I'm lazy, so I'll use my dictate button because we're at the edit field over there. And like I said, I haven't played with this a whole lot. So when I'm going to go ahead there, by the way, if I go down farther.
A playlist playground may create unexpected results. New playlist ideas. Songs from the 90s everyone knows. Button. Weekend family getaway. Button. Morning coffee music. Button.
Okay. Because I've already played with this, it's already looked at some of my previous playlists and said, oh, you might be like something like this, but I don't want this, so I'm going to go back up to the edit field.
You can find beta playlist dictate button.
All right, I'm at the dictate button. Let's try 80s, just because it's easy, all right? So I'm going to go ahead and dictate here. 1980 rock music.
Attachment. Inserted 1980 rock music.
All right. So now what I have on the bottom of the screen is
Tap G.
Is Tap your all. Standard where you can type in your keyboard, but on the bottom right corner is a go button. And now when I hit the go button, you can hear what it goes through it, and VoiceOver will speak it.
Go. Intelligent Sparkle icon searching for songs. Intelligent Sparkle icon, this playlist rocks with tracks from the 80s.
All right. And then I can go down through the list.
80s rock anthems, Magic to Rebel Yell, text field. 25 songs, 1 hour 47 minutes. Every little thing she does is magic. Reorder, You Might Think, The Cars, button. Reorder, Start Me Up, The Rolling Stones, button. Reorders, da-do-do-do, remaster 2003,
And you
button.
Can do this for any type of playlist. So let's say I wanted to keep this playlist. I go back up to the done.
Close, button. Undo, dim, button. Redo, dim, button. More, button. Save, button.
Save. Go ahead and click save.
Save. In progress.
It does. There we go.
Library, back button.
And puts me back in my library. And if I slide down now.
Collaboration, button, more, button, search, search, dictate, button, playlist artwork, image, 80s rock anthems, magic to rebel yell, 80s rock anthems, magic to rebel yell.
Okay, and then if I go back to my list of playlists that I usually have.
Library, back button. Library, new playlist, button, more, button, my account, button, playlists, button.
Go to the playlists.
Favorite songs, button. Dennis, clear cue, button. Covers, button. Temp 1, button. Temp 2, button. 80s rock anthems, magic to rebel yell, button.
And you'll see it's there, and then you can play it at any time. I'm going to go ahead and stop and see if there's any questions or any general questions about the music app. I'm not the greatest on the music app. I've only been playing with it for 3 or 4 months, but it's great. Did that come through pretty good?
It sounded great. It did. So this is on the latest update of 26?
Yeah, I kind of saw that too, but I didn't really, I forgot about it when I was in the app. I guess that's a nice way to create a playlist like that. I usually just tell like Siri to, play like 1980s rock music, and but it's a temporary playlist. It's not a permanent one.
Yeah, this is permanent. The other thing, though, is if you go to the search section, this guy out there, there are people who are super crazy. I love space age pop music, okay? And there's this guy, if you go to the search section and say space age pop, and he's way down on his name is Michael or something like that, he's got 9,000 songs on his playlist. His playlist is so long, it damn near crashes my my phone here. But there's a lot of neat stuff out there. I mean, I've got playlists of over 2,000. I got easy listening favorites of over 2,000 songs on.
What did you click on to find that guy? Just you do a search? I didn't know you could, like, see other people's playlists like that, or are you kind of following them?
No, it's their playlist. It's usually down way lower in the list of playlists, or when you go to the search section, go up to the top there where you can change it from, you know, the most popular to the playlist section. There's a section you can switch it to just playlists, and then you can read other people's published playlists. And this guy's got, over 9,000. There's another guy out there who does classic electronic music, and he does music from 1974 and 5 and 6 from classic electronics like Kraftwerk and Tangerine Dream and stuff. And he's got thousands of songs too.
So do you have to pay a subscription fee for Apple Music? I've never used it.
If you want to be able to play more than just the radio, yeah, you do. But if you haven't done it, I think they'll give you a free 7-day trial or something like that. And then the first month is free. I have a family plan, put my wife and my mom on it and stuff. And that's like $17 a month. But the individual, I think, is it $11.99 or $10.99? I can't remember.
Something like that. I do the annual. It used to be $99 a year. So you get like 2 months free or something. I think it's like $109 now for the year. So yes, you do have to pay, but I like it. I mean, some people pay for Spotify and other ones, there's free ones, but I kind of like it because if I want to listen to an album, I could just tell, you know, Siri, play album Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, and it plays the whole album beginning to end. But you can't do that with free apps.
Hanker, is this Hanker dude that just talked?
The monthly subscription just went up this month. I was paying, I think, $10.99 plus tax, and it ended up being like $11.59 or something. This month it went up to, after tax, it's $12.71 a month for the monthly subscription.
And yes, I'm Hanker dude, Hank.
Okay, well, I thought so. And I got to tell you, for how much I never thought I'd get rid of Amazon Unlimited Music.
There's no channel. Tech Chat 11 closed.
I never thought I'd get rid of it, but it's really good. I don't want to dominate the conversation. I'll turn it back to Cheryl here because I get too excited about this stuff and I go overboard.
That's all right. One more thing. Sorry, Cheryl, I'm going to interrupt about Apple Music that I saw that was new. I have not done anything with it, but I figured I'd let you guys know. In the tabs at the bottom under new, there's now concert, I think it's called. You could put in your location, and I don't know how it works. I think you can see what concerts or what bands are coming into your area. I think you can follow the bands and find out stuff about the band in that section. But that's brand new to Apple Music.
I was just about to talk about that, Hank. And you do a search, and you can type in any city that you want. In my case, I typed in Jacksonville, Florida, to see what concerts were coming up. And it gives you the dates and who it is. I think that's super, super cool. I love it.
Yeah, I got to do it because I would love to know when Rush is coming around. They have a new drummer, Annika Niles, and she's amazing.
Well, I got to tell you, I was amazed at this when they first came out with this, where they meld the tracks together, you know, where they fade the tracks together. When it first came out, it wasn't very good. But boy, is it really good now. I've got a... And I'm not into it so much, but sometimes I like to play a little bit of that 70s disco music. And the damn thing turns the speed up and down. And it is... I mean, it's pretty impressive what the thing does.
Wait. What are you talking about? So you're talking like a DJ mix. You can do that with Apple Music?
Correct. If you go into your playback, I can't remember where it's located. I have to go look here. If you go into your settings, you'll be able to see where you can set up the fade from one track to another track. If you guys want me to show you, I can show you where it's at. But when you turn it on, you have two options. If you're not a paid member, you only have a fade in, fade out. If you're a paid member, you have this intelligent mode. So if you're playing like two songs that are disco songs that are kind of the same, they'll change the beat of the outgoing song to match the beat of the incoming song, and they fade together. It's kind of cool.
Oh, I did have the key. Unless anybody else is interested, I don't think you need to do a demo. I could figure that out. But you do that in settings under music, right? Not in the music app?
That's correct. You could turn it on and off in the music app, but you can't do it. You have to go under the settings, and it's right in the audio section.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. That was pretty neat, Dennis. Thanks for doing that demonstration. Do we have any other questions about the music app? Anybody want to bring up? Okay. I did want to mention on the phone app, since the update, they have the ability that you can listen to a voicemail using the speaker. And that's something that I haven't been able to do. So, and there's a speaker button. So when you go into the phone app and you go into voicemail and you select the voicemail that you want to listen to the right of play is speaker button. And usually it's turned off. You double tap that, it'll say on, and then you flick to play. And then you can hear it through your iPhone speaker. That's something that I haven't been able to do until recently. I think that's a pretty cool feature.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I've also enabled call screening. And boy, do I love that, because I used to get a ton of scam calls every day. So now they have to announce their name and the purpose of the call before they can get through to me, before it even rings. I love it.
Boy, that is nifty.
Does that only work for unknown calls, or does that work for all calls? I take it it just works for unknowns?
I would assume unknown, since everybody else is in your contact list and they'll pop up as, you know, their name, and you know who they are. You might not know what they want. But I love the speaker feature, because I remember before you have to put your phone up to your ear, and then sometimes if they hung up quick or your voiceover started talking, it's screaming in your ear, and that always hurt. The other thing, and I can't figure out, hey, that's a question for everybody. I think there's a voicemail button sometimes after it stops ringing, so I don't know if you have to tap that. But as they're leaving a voice message, sometimes you get a transcription of what they're saying on the voice message, and you could still answer the phone or the call while they're in voicemail.
My wife has done that several times, and it does work.
Yeah, it gives you as they're leaving the voicemail, because it'll say waiting, and then you can answer the call right then and interrupt them. They go, oh, I was leaving you a message. Yeah, I know. That is a neat feature. I love that.
So how do you do that? Like, when the phone is ringing, and say you don't get to it in time, and they might still be in the process of leaving the voicemail, how do you get to that?
Well, generally what I do is I touch on the near the top of the screen, and it'll say who's calling, and then you flip to the, it'll say waiting, and then sometimes you'll see the text come up that they're leaving a message. It'll actually give you what they're saying, and then somewhere in there, there's an answer call button.
Yeah, I've seen the answer call button. I have not seen the waiting button, but I normally don't go to the top. And I don't know, like, there is a voicemail button, so I don't know if to tap that to get it to read. I just know sometimes I see what they're saying, sometimes I don't. But that's kind of cool that the voiceover reads, you know, their transcription of what they're saying. And when it's an unknown number, yeah, I'll see there, hi, it's Jessica, are you there? Well, Siri's reading it, not their voice.
Right. And it doesn't actually, the waiting doesn't actually say button. It's basically one of those ellipses so that you know that they're still on the phone and you still have time to answer it.
I can't say for sure, but I did it by accident one time. The voicemail was playing and I just did the two-finger double tap.
T-Mobile.
Like I was answering it and it interrupted it, and I was connected. So you might want to try that. I'll have to play around with it sometime.
I think that does work, as I did answer the call while my buddy was in the middle of leaving a voice message. And then he started messing with me because he kept leaving a message. I'm like, hello? And he's still talking. I'm like, hello? Then he starts laughing at me.
Well, I got to tell you, that speech-to-text, and apparently it's built into iOS. It's not sending it out. It's just doing it on your own phone. It's very impressive. I use it, like you say, for, listening to your voice messages. But I do it for podcasts, because then I can turn the speech up really fast, right? 75-80% and get through a podcast quicker. But I was telling the guys the other day, my hearing aids, I can pump audio from my microphone into the iPhone, and the speech to text will actually work. So if I'm having a conversation with somebody, I haven't played with it a whole lot, but if I'm having a conversation with somebody and it's a loud room, I'm going to test that and see, because it picks it up and brings it right into text. It's really cool.
What are you talking about? When somebody is talking, you can read what they're saying?
Yeah. I was playing with my hearing aid settings. And if you have hearing aids, you can go under these settings and they have what's called live listen. So not only does you hear what your hearing aids are hearing, but you hear what your telephone is hearing. And then there's another setting underneath of that that you can, turn on that will take all the audio that your phone is hearing and then convert that into text on the screen. So if you hear somebody talking, it will actually tell you what they're saying.
Yeah, that live hearing is actually pretty interesting. I've never done it. Plus, I don't think it's cool to do anyway. But also, it's not just hearing aids. I could do it with my AirPods. It uses your phone microphone and it feeds it to your AirPods or earbud. Well, earbuds is useless for what I'm talking about. I could actually leave my phone on the table with the live hearing because it's using the microphone on the phone itself, and I could walk away. And if people start talking about me, I could still hear it through my AirPods. But I've never done that. That wouldn't be cool.
Yeah, that is kind of an interesting situation. Yeah, we used to talk about doing that, but I was not talking about when audio from the room. I was talking about when you're on the phone and somebody's speaking on the phone, does it put the text on your screen that way?
Boy, I don't think you can do that. It takes the text from the voicemail. So I can't see why it wouldn't do that. But the problem you run into is, of course, you get, you know, voiceover mixing with the other voice. And I haven't played with it enough to know if it's a good tool. I just played with it enough to find it might be interesting to screw with.
Well, I did read something a while back, and this is several updates ago, that they were incorporating where if you were hard of hearing and you could see the screen, that you could read the text from somebody that is talking, that it will translate it in the text. And I've actually scheduled reservations for somebody that was actually doing that. I would ask the question and they would read it on my screen or their screen, and then they would answer my question after they read it. I thought that was pretty cool.
If it's not already on the iPhone, I believe it'd probably be there soon, because I've seen commercials on TV. I think it's a home phone where, you know, obviously they show older people, but it's a phone, and whoever's on the other end, it comes up on the screen. And they could read it. I forgot what that phone's called. But you see the grandparents talking to their grandchild, and it's all about, you know, everything the kid is saying is coming up on the screen. So even though they can't hear it, they're reading it.
Well, and the speech to text is so good. I have, it's an archive of 1930s and 40s radio broadcasts of baseball games, and I cannot hear them. They're too muffled. I run it through that speech to text converter. It comes out beauty.
Yeah, Hank, I've seen that commercial before. It's pretty cool.
So you're doing that on your iPhone, Dennis?
It's in the podcast app. If you go to the podcast app and click the more button on a particular podcast, it'll say read transcript.
I'll be darned.
I like it because I can turn the speech up really fast and get through a lot quicker.
I did not know that. I'll have to look at that. That is just phenomenal how much you can do with the iPhone compared to, say, 10 years ago when it was not anywhere close to what we're doing now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the text-to-speech has gotten crazy. Here's another example of the, you know, one of the reasons that we're able to get it, because a lot of sighted people are using it, is the translate. I was watching a show or a movie, actually it's a series, but I know I've seen in the WWDC, if you're talking to somebody in another language, you know, you do set the translate, and as they speak, you know, say in German, voiceover or Siri reads it to you in English, and then you speak in English, and then it'll translate it to German so they can hear it.
So is there something on the phone that does that now?
For the translate, yes. You got to go deep into your apps a little bit, but yeah, and a couple updates ago, I'm not sure when it came out, but it's in there, you know, with the other, what was the thing we were looking at? Follow View or something that we were didn't know. There's a few Apple apps that are on your phone somewhere, but they're not on the front page.
No, I've seen Translate, but I have not gotten it because I would love to be able to use that for work because we have several people that request Spanish interpreters. So if I could just say something in, you know, do you have to select a language? I mean, I'll have to look at that, see how that goes.
That's what they try to tell people to use if you're in with, say, an Uber or Lyft driver that doesn't speak English. Now, I can't picture how you would handle that because you're sitting behind them for them to, unless they're saying it. If they're saying it, I guess they don't need to see the screen then, but I can't quite picture how you'd make that work easily.
Yeah, you'd have to hold your screen up to so that they could see it. That would be the only way because you're behind them.
I know they have that translator in the Meta glasses.
Hey, Ali, welcome in.
Thank you. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hey there. I have a question. Has anybody used the Apple TV? Is it worth it or not?
I have not.
I used it years ago. I guess it worked all right. I can't remember. Boy, it's been probably 15 years or 20. But I just use the smart TV. I got the, what is it? I can't remember what model, Toshiba Fire TV. And that does everything the Apple one does.
Yeah, I've already got Netflix, and that's as much as I want to subscribe to. I mean, I don't even watch it as much as I pay for it. I don't even watch it to get the money out of it, but I still have it.
Yep, I think we do use it, but the problem is with the services like the Netflix and the Disney Plus is you have to pay more money for it now.
I know that's the thing, they get you used to watching it, and they said, okay, she should be good and hooked by now. Let's go ahead and just inch up the payment so she's not even going to notice it. Oh, yeah, she noticed.
Well, if you're a news junkie like I am, most of the news stations have their stuff set up as podcasts. But there's one thing I do not like about the latest version of the iPhone. The podcast. There's a section on the library where you go to the library section and it says latest podcasts, and you click it and it aggregates everything. It's way slower, but that might get better as time goes on. So we'll have to see. If the biggest problem I have with the podcatcher is it crashes sometimes with that voice to text thing, and I'm hoping they fix that.
Yeah, you're right. They get you hooked on something, then they hike the price up. Now, one of the services we used to think was Hulu, and it was like $10 a month. And if you get the without advertisements, it costs you like $12. Then every couple of months, it started climbing up. I think it was up to $18 or $19 a month. Ridiculous.
Yep, they're banking that you can't live without it, and they don't know me very well. I can live without it.
Well, we got Hulu again, but our cell phone provider It's one of the perks they give you. You get the free version of it, or you get a, it's free, but you get advertisements. I said, well, you know, I'll take it because I live with advertisements all these years. I can live with it more if I want to watch it. Gives you a chance to go get a snack or something.
That's true. Another thing that I feature on the iPhone app that I really enjoy is the filter feature. So when you have screen calling on, then it goes through this filter and you double tap on filter and flick through and it'll talk about, hey, John, it'll talk about filtered call unknown callers, and it'll say how many unknown callers there is. You double tap on that, and then you can go through, delete, and then you can delete and report as spam. That is a good feature.
Has anybody noticed? Now, I haven't got the latest update, I don't think, yet, but I have more trouble with the messages app now trying to delete messages, or when you're in a message where it's a continuing thing where you're replying back and forth or whatever, and then trying to get out of it. Or even if you're not replying back and forth, just if you tap on the message to read the full thing, because she doesn't read the full thing, and then to back out of it to get out of it. It just seems like somehow or other they've messed something up there.
I haven't really noticed. Usually, you know, there's a back button where it's supposed to be. And if a lot of times when I call Ira, they have to send me a message with the 6-digit code to give to them. So, but when I delete that, I just flick up to delete and then flick to delete this conversation. And it seems to work okay.
And I'm lazy. I use Siri because, like, for an example, if my wife needs me to unlock the door or something, I just answer it through Siri, and then it disappears from my dock, and then I go back and delete them later.
Yeah, I don't do much of the gestures. I use that like if I wanna like text someone. Oh. If I want to listen to the radio, yeah, I use Siri as well. But because the gestures, we did look at them, but they were going to be complicated for me. So that's why I use it, the voice commands.
I don't know if in our last class I was talking about, I think, this app that my doctor prescribed for me for insomnia. And I played with it and had a terrible time trying to figure out how to get myself logged in. They give you an access code that you have to type in. I could do that. Some of the edit fields were just not clear. And when you would double tap on something, you didn't know if you were in the right field. And then to try to read things back, it was a nightmare. And I wrote to their developer. They gave a technical support, you know, email address. And so, and it's so hard to explain these things. It would be so much easier if they give you a phone number and you call them and say, now, listen, this is what this sounds like for me. This is what VoiceOver is doing. But no, it's all, you got to put it all in writing, which I attempted to do. And I was mailing back and forth to this guy. And his answer to everything was, well, give me your information and I'll put it in for you. I'll get you logged in. I thought, I'm not doing that. And I said, well, if I have such a problem logging in, what's to say that this app is going to be accessible for me once I get in to be able to use it in the first place? And I'm trying to subtly say, you need to fix your app, make it accessible. And his answer was, well, give me your information and I'll log you in. Well, I sat here over a period of several days, and every time I kind of got in the mood, I thought, I'm going to play with this again. There's got to be a way to do this myself. And I did end up getting in there. It was not easy. The app works. You can use it. But what interests me when a lot of these apps is there's no buttons at all. I mean, VoiceOver reads, you know, continue, but you don't hear like continue button. You just hit continue and it does what it does, or next. And there's no labeled button anymore. And I think this is what we're starting to see with some of these things.
Yeah, as we go forward, I'm afraid that the accessibility is going to get broken more and more. We're seeing indications of that.
Hello, everyone. I'm really not lurking. You just didn't hear me when I came in, but I'm listening.
I didn't hear you, Susie. Welcome in. Good to see you. And everybody else I missed that may have slipped in without my notice. So the floor is open. So, Chris Ann, you managed to get into the program and play with it. Well, what does that program do?
Oh, mercy. It plays videos with this really neat-sounding guy with the greatest Scottish accent that gives you tips about how to program your thought process if you're having trouble falling asleep. Some of it is like visual imagery stuff, and I think, oh boy, you know, for somebody that never saw anything before, that you're supposed to imagine yourself in a place that looks like, so, you know, whatever your happy place would be. It does have you do a sleep diary. When you get up every morning, you have to tell it what time did you get into bed? And then it says, when did you try to fall asleep? How many minutes after you got into bed did you try to fall asleep? And what time did you fall asleep? And I'm laughing at that one because it's like, well, who's looking at the clock if you're asleep? And what time did you get up in the morning? And what time did you wake up? And then what time did you get up? And it's got these levels of where you read and watch these videos that it's going to talk about. It had this whole thing about the bed is only for sleeping. It is not for any other activity. Like me, I'm violating all of it because I have a TV in my room. And sometimes if my back hurts or something and I want to watch TV and lay down and be comfortable, well, you don't tell them. It's all check boxes, so it's not like you tell them anything. But it gives you ideas. It's gonna have a level that talks about your sleep schedule. I have to start that one now. And like I say, you can read everything, you can hit the play button and the video starts and all of that, but it's just a whole way of programming yourself of how you think of sleep and how you get yourself ready to sleep.
Well, I'd fall asleep trying to figure it out. I'm probably one of the few people that don't have any problem falling asleep, but, you know, pretty quick. Terry, you might could benefit from that app.
You never know.
And when you guys are done and got something for Braille input users or Braille displays?
That's right. I think Mar would be interested in this. Go ahead, Hank.
So I found the name of it. Apple Viz has a new blog post. And one of the new things in the update is a touch curtain. I couldn't think of it because you got the screen curtain, which just makes your screen black. So people can't read your screen. There's a new sound curtain, which disables all sound. I'm not really sure what that's about. I guess maybe that's also for Braille display users. I'm not that far down on the page for that one. So I guess if you just want to read in Braille without having interrupted voiceover stuff in your ears or at the speakers. And the touch curtain, you can you turn that on if you're using a Braille display and input. So you don't accidentally input or, you know, touch the screen and move your focus or accidentally input on your screen. And you turn that on with a Perkins-style Braille device using the space bar, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8.
Hanker dude, that sounds like I wish there was a lock. Now, you have the lock screen, but it sounds like that one button there locks the screen down so it doesn't move. I wish you had something like that by itself. I don't always want to go to the lock screen because then I have to enter my code in again. So is there a way that you can actually just lock the screen so it stays on the home screen? But that's a cool thing. I like that.
I think there, what was that gesture? Wasn't there a gesture on the phone to actually turn that on, Hank?
I don't see a gesture on the actual phone to do it, but with the Braille display, and it is, it's, you're not locking the screen. You're still on the home screen, or you can have the music app open or whatever. I think you're still manipulating the phone, but what it does, it locks the screen, not the phone, it locks the screen. So even if you tap on it with your fingers, you're not going to do anything. So it's almost like a keyboard lock on your computer. So if somebody walks up, your cat walks across it, it might read what the cat's stepping on, but it's not going to do anything. It's not going to accidentally open apps or type a whole bunch of things. So on the Braille display, at least what I'm reading here, I don't do Braille. So spacebar 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 8 toggles it on and off.
That's a lot of fingers to use at one time. But that would be very helpful if you're a Braille user and your phone is nearby. And if you accidentally touch your phone, that can change the focus from where your Braille display is on. So turning that on and your Braille display has the control of your phone. And that is a neat feature.
Well, and a lot of times, even if you're not doing that, I don't always have to log in on my phone. My cat walks across my screen. I think that's funny you said that. She does it all the time.
That happens a lot to me when I'm running Team Talk on my phone. And my phone's right beside me here on my table. And I have lost my focus many times.
I'm going to try one of the things I just read here, because it's talking about sound curtain. Now, I don't know if you have to set one or the other. You can toggle it by pressing both the volume up and down key together for 5 seconds for that Braille, that touch curtain. You can also go into settings, accessibility, voiceover, Braille, and you can turn the touch curtain on and off there.
Yeah, that'd be pain, but it's interesting. Thank you.
Anybody else have any comments they'd like to make before we close out for the day?
I just still have fun sometimes with the Instacart app. That's one, too, where you're messaging back and forth to the shopper. And sometimes it just loses focus for me to get. You know, you got to keep swiping right to get past the previous messages that the shopper has sent and that you have sent. And sometimes it just loses focus. And you're trying to hurry up to answer the shopper if you want the substitution or you don't want it or refund or whatever, if you haven't already set that up. And I try to set a lot of them up ahead of time. But that whole focus thing sometimes makes me crazy.
Tell me about it. I did that last week. I wanted the shopper to get something before he left the store. And before I could even find the place to text him, I got this message, your shopper has checked out. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's too bad you can't sometimes control how much time I tried this morning to call the pharmacy to fill a medication, and I knew the prescription number, but boy, they sure don't give you a lot of time to type those numbers in. And finally, I just hit the number to talk to a person and handled it that way. But the timing on some of these things goes so fast.
I have trouble with chats anyway, whether it be on a computer or on the phone. Trying to figure out where, because, you know, sometimes when you, there's certain chat programs where you type in there and then you press enter to send the message and it doesn't read the message that they type. So you have to go back through and find it. And that's a little bit of a pain.
Walmart has changed their chat box. Before, you could type in what exactly the problem was in your own words. Now, you have to select this, not the right item, missing item, or something like that. This is crap. I mean, it just really it doesn't work for me.
Well, a lot of times, a couple weeks ago, I had to do that with Spectrum Cable, because I wasn't getting audio description. And a lot of time, on theirs anyway, you go from the bottom of the screen. So you're at the bottom and you arrow up a few times and you see their message. And then you tab, I think, and hit to open up an edit field for you to answer that. And you stay pretty much at the bottom of the screen. But with each app, I'm sure that's different, you know, and you have to figure that out. And then it'll time out on you. I've had that too, where you've started talking and getting a problem, you know, discussed with one person, and all of a sudden that person is gone and you got to start all over again.
Well, for all it's worth, I mean, at least, you know, the technology is there. As much of a pain as it can be to use it sometimes, I'm grateful for it. So, you know, all right. Any other last minute comments?
I'm just going to say, I agree. As much as we like to complain about things that don't work and this and that, we are got so much more compared to like 10 years or 5-10 years ago. So, you know, hopefully they fix the things that bother us and they keep improving the things that we enjoy.
Well, I switched over to my phone here. This, like, seeing AI and Be My Eyes and stuff, the first time I started using it was like magic. You know, back in the 70s, we never had, 60s, we never had that. First time I used that, man, it was like magic.
I totally agree, and I still think that a lot of times. Be My Eyes, it's almost my go-to, and that live read app, oh my gosh. If one doesn't work, the other one will.
Well, I have Be My Eyes on my phone, and I used to really enjoy the part Be My AI, but now when I bring up Be My Eyes, it's almost like an advertisement. You can join the thing, you can call somebody for a description, but the Be My AI and the camera part is not there. Nothing.
Okay, it should still be there. Did you flick to all the way to the left? Because it sounds like you're in... Because it'll leave you wherever you were the last time you used it. So somehow you might have gone into the community tab. So you might want to look for a back button, get out of that, get into the main app itself, and then look for the Be My AI tab at the bottom.
Well, there's nothing on the left. Well, I flicked every which way, and I get all the same things. So are you saying go into the community and look around there, and then, I don't know.
No, I'm saying you're probably already in the community when you open the app. So look for a back button to get out of that section back into the main body of the app. And then look for the Be My AI.
Yeah, you might have to go back. I'm going to open Be My Eyes with this, using the power button for Siri. Open Be My Eyes. Mm-hmm.
Be My Eyes.
Okay, I'm going to swipe left. Usually she just reads camera button.
Anchornet, 3 of 3, 92%. Location tracking on. Image. Status bar item. Send.
What happened?
3. Location tracking.
Fail. Open Be My Eyes. Hmm.
Location tracking on. 3:58 p.m. Tab bar. Service directory. Tab 3
right,
of 5.
All the way to the bottom. So you got...
Community. Tab. Settings. Tab. Setting. Community. Service directory. Selected. Be My AI. Tab 2 of 5.
Yeah, there's Be My AI tab.
Get support. Tab. History. Take picture. Button.
Take picture button.
Take picture.
So I swiped left. There's only 3 things on the screen other than the tabs at the bottom. So go all the way to the bottom and try tapping on Be My AI.
It's not there. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's at the top. It says Be My Eyes heading. Then it tells you how many people need it. I need your assistant. Call. I'd like to volunteer. Share your eyesight button. And that's it.
Okay. Look at the top left of that screen and see if there's a back button.
Well, I did touch that and it says return to Siri.
You went too far up. Just below where that status bar is, you know, normally where your back button is, look for that.
Or touch the middle of the screen and try doing a scrub if you know how to do that. One more thing to try. I know you said the tabs aren't there, but one thing I've noticed, if you're swiping to try to get to the bottom, sometimes the tabs don't show. So take your finger and go all the way to the bottom, you know, to the bottom of the screen where like basically the screen touches the your phone case, and move left and right there and see if you, the tabs show up.
You know what, Susie, I think you have maybe logged out. Has your phone updated lately?
I think so.
Did you look at the tabs in the bottom of, because I'm in, let's
Be My AI tab service directory.
The service directory.
3 of 5 community.
Community
tab, settings tab 5.
That should be all in the bottom of your screen. Do you have that?
Community service direct Be My AI selected. Get support. My groups button. Call a volunteer button. Call a volunteer. My groups. But tab bar. Select call a volunteer. My groups. Button tab bar. Selected. Get Be My AI. Tab 2 of 5.
Like I said, just put your finger at the bottom of the screen. Don't swipe right to get there.
I'm not getting anything that you all have. Nothing.
Flashlight on.
Now I'm back to flashlight. It flicks around. That's another thing about this. I'll be on like VD scan and using it, and I may be able to use it about 3 times, and then it switches over to where I have flashlight and all that kind of stuff, and then I have to get VD scan back. Is that normal?
Do you guys think it might be worth it to go to the app switcher and force the app to close? I wonder if she's got a ton of apps on there that are open at one time as well. That might help that problem. I know a lot of times when if I have an issue with an application, I close it there and it comes back good.
Well, I know like mostly like to close the app down or whatever. Like you have to like double tap it to let you have to find what you want to close and then try to like double tap it. Double tap it, because that's what I do.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Make sure all your apps are closed out and then just open the one you want. Now, that flashlight is actually in your... There's not a flashlight in Be My AI. Be My Eyes. You may be activating the control center. Do you have orientation locked on your screen? You might be losing your orientation.
I don't know. So I need to unlock orientation?
No, you want to keep it locked on portrait mode.
Yeah, you got to go to control center, which is you swipe from the bottom. Don't stop at home. Keep going up, and then that'll open up control center, right? Or is that, am I in the wrong? No, that's app switcher. From the top bottom, the first one, not the second one. And lock orientation, you want to hold your phone in portrait mode. So straight up and down, lock it. So, because, yeah, if you tilt your phone slightly and it goes into landscape, when you swipe right, you're actually swiping up. So you might be switching things.
Well, I'm not going to keep you all any longer because I know this is supposed to be scheduled and I was just late. But I'll work with some of this and see if I can get be my eyes to do more than just let me join the community.
Okay, also go into settings, something to do. Go into settings and make sure you're still logged in. Because when I went into settings, it gave me an option to log out. So make sure you're still logged in. Close out all your apps and then reopen it. Check down at the bottom inch part of your screen. And there are all your tabs down there. And one of them is... Be My AI. So just some suggestions, and hopefully in May I'll see you and we can visit that again.
Okay. Thanks so much, Al.
All right. Well, that's the end of the session for today. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming. We had a very productive day, as we usually do. It's always a neat experience every time. So 2 weeks from today, we'll do it again. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Hank, for your help.